right, excellent. Thank you. That was unusual and blessed, and I like that song. Amen. I've never heard that reworked like that. It's going to fit right into the message this morning. Go to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. Onward, Christian mothers. Say, preacher, this world's a mess. I don't think the world can get bad enough where it can't be fixed if we had a revival of Christianity in the ranks of motherhood across America. And so I want to preach on this subject this morning, kingly advice from a queenly mother. Kingly advice from a queenly mother. Proverbs chapter 31, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. We're going to begin in verse number 1, kingly advice from a queenly mother. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as we look at the scriptures today, dear God, we would, Lord, have an opportunity to think back and be thankful, dear God, for our mothers. And Lord, thank you for generations of mothers that raised, dear God, their children to be godly. And thank you for the motherly advice that each and every one of us have received. And dear God, please bring to our hearts and our minds those words of wisdom. Lord, some will just be memories. Some, Lord, haven't been spoken in decades, at least out loud, but they still ring in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of us. I pray for every mother, dear God, that there'd be a rededication in the ranks of motherhood towards Christian living and godliness and raising godly children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm very, very burdened about the United States of America, as many of you are. Literally, in the last couple of years, I will be honest with you, I had to go for a time there where I just kind of stopped watching the news and stopped reading the paper. It just got to the point where it just seemed like, without fail, every time I would go check out a news source, there would be something that would be so disheartening or discouraging or anti-God or anti-Christ that I thought to myself, what happened to the America that I was raised in? And I've been burdened about that. You know, I've prayed over it. I pray for revival. I pray for God to do something miraculous and sweet and in our country and to get us back to the point where we are tender to the will of God and are willing to listen to the word of God. And sometimes I despair, but then I have a day like today and I have Mother's Day and my heart got excited. And I thought to myself, as I said a minute ago, I'm not sure there's much anything wrong with America that couldn't be fixed if we just had mothers get back to the Bible. Say, preacher, what are we going to do about what's being introduced in the public school? And what are we going to do about all of these godless TV shows? And what are we going to do about these themes that are being incorporated into the godless music? And what are we going to do about this tolerance curriculum? And what are we going to do? And what are we going to do? And what are we going to do? And you know what I say? You give a child to a godly mother and raise that child on a mother's knee. And moms, you have more power than you understand and more influence than you can understand. And I would encourage each and every one of you, listen to me, to listen to the advice of your mother. In Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 8, we read, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Again in Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now here's the way it worked at the Ross house, and I think it worked biblically. Dad laid down the commands,
But mom laid down the law, amen. Dad laid down the commands, and then he went to work, all right? And guess who was there to lay down the law? And I thank God that I had a mom that wasn't afraid to lay down the law. And you know what? She never did ask me, would you like to know my opinion on this? She never did ask me that. She just made sure that we understood and were taught, by the way, very sweetly, but very directly was taught the rights and wrongs based on the Word of God and biblical values. We need Christian mothers. Onward, Christian mothers. Onward, Christian mothers. Amen. We need Christian mothers. And there was a king that God used to read a chapter, to write a chapter of the Bible. And this king was named King Lemuel. And you know what? Everything that he wrote down in this chapter, in verse number 1, we learn the source of this. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Hear, my son, the instruction of a father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. There were certain things that moms traditionally have taught their children throughout the history of the United States of America. I'm not saying that we're doing it as well as we should be today, but I also don't want you to lose heart, because there still is a remnant of mothers that are still teaching their children these moral values. And I want you to listen to what the Bible says. You know, don't listen. Every once in a while I have this situation, by the way, I'm not offended by it. Good night, you can't offend me. I mean that, you can't offend me. I got past that a long time ago. But every once in a while, I'll say something in the pulpit and somebody will come back and say, well, I just don't agree with you on that. Or I know you think this. Wait a minute, folks. Don't try to make your disagreement with this preacher. We're going to look at the Bible today. Do you have a King James Holy Bible? You got it open in your lap? You look at the verses? If what I say matches that, then if you don't agree with it, you really don't have an issue with me, okay? Your issue's with the Lord. It's just easier to shoot the messenger than it is to raise your fist up at a holy God. But let me just say this. If God's word says one thing and you think the other way, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And what we need to do is stop, and this is what our country's doing, stop demanding that God change to match our morals, but maybe we should change our morals to match what God has laid down for a nation. Kingly advice from a queenly mother. Let's look at it today. What advice did his mother give him? Number one, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Look at verse number 2. She asked 3 questions. When moms are asking questions, they ask them for a reason, okay? And notice this. What, my son? It's almost like what she was about to teach him. I'm not sure, and we don't know 100% sure, what generated the conversation. But I have a feeling that maybe this Lemuel, as a young man, went out into the world and began to get worldly ideas and worldly philosophies and hang around with a worldly crowd and come home with a worldly perspective. And so he comes in and he begins to discuss this newfound wisdom that he's learned off the streets and in the locker room with his mother. And you know what? It's almost like the conversation starts with her hitting a reset button in his life. 3 questions. Here it is. What, my son? What? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? And it's almost like before we get into any of this, I want you to remember something, okay? You're my child. You came from my womb. Come on, moms, you've got some authority. You've got some God-given authority in that child's life. Okay? I went to the brink of death to bring you into this world. Okay? I have an invested interest. Okay? God used me to bring you in. Listen, what, my son? What? Watch this. And what, the son of my womb? And watch this. And what, the son of my vows? Moms, let me just give you something, and boy, you'd be well served to do it. Every mother ought to make some holy vows to God when it comes to promises that you make in the rearing of your children. You ought to make some promises, some vows. I mean, when God gives you that baby, I think you ought to hold him in your arms and say, God, this is a gift from you. This child is lent to me for a season, and I'm going to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's a mom that took raising children seriously. She saw this child as a gift from God, and you know what she did? She made some holy vows in what she would teach this child and how she would rear this child. And when that son came home with some different ideas, she reminded him real quickly, listen to me, God didn't give you to some pagan, and God didn't give you to some pagan family, and God didn't give you to somebody who doesn't care. You need to listen to you young people. You'd be well served to hear this. You need to listen to your mom. Okay? And you need to listen because she's made some vows, some godly vows in rearing you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know what she was saying? Son, you better remember who you are. One of the things that my mom and dad said often to us was we were growing up, we'd be ready to go out somewhere. Maybe we're going out with some guys to do something, go play basketball or go somewhere. And you know what was said often in our house as we were walking out the door? Hey, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You say, preacher, what were they saying? First of all, they were saying this. Remember, you're a Christian. This is what that mama was saying. Remember, you're a Christian. You know what? We ought to remember that. Every single one of us carried the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And you know what? What we do and how we conduct ourselves and what we say and where we go, it either puts God in a good light and magnifies the Lord to a lost and dying world, or we can cause shame to come upon the name of the Lord by how we conduct. Hey, remember, you're a Christian. You know what they were also saying? Remember, you're a Ross. You remember, you're a Ross. Hey, lines are falling to me in goodly places. I have a goodly heritage. In pleasant places, I have a goodly heritage. You know what they were saying? They were saying, we've given you a good name. Don't you go out and trash it. Don't you go run it through the gutter. Hey, what are you saying there? Remember who you are. What my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my... Listen, young people, you have a heritage. You know what mama's saying? You're part of me. You're a son of promise. You're a son of my vows. Watch this. You're a king in the making. I'm raising you to be royalty. I'm raising you to be different. Every single one of us, the day that we got saved, we became a part of the family of God. And you know what? That means that you're royalty. If you're a part of the family of God, then you serve King God, and he's your father, and King Jesus, he's your brother. And guess what? That makes you royalty. And you're not supposed to be like the rest of this world. Remember who you are. You're a Christian. Remember who you are. You're royalty. Listen to your mother. And this is what she was saying. Listen to your mother. And I'll teach you how to be a king. I'll teach you how to be a king. Young people, I don't care what you come from, what kind of life you come from, what kind of home you come from. The day that you got saved, you know what? You became royalty. You young lady, you're princesses. I mean, you know what? You young men are princes. And you ought to, listen, you live different than the world. Remember who you are. What else was she going to say to him? All right, let's look at the advice. Kingly advice from a queenly mother. Number one, remember who you are. Number two, keep yourself morally pure. Keep yourself morally pure. You know what, moms, let me just say this. You have a God-given responsibility to drill that into your children and teach that to your children both by lip and life from the time God gives you that child. That ought to be a theme that's said over and over and over. You say, preacher, where is it at? Well, let's look in the scriptures. What's she say in verse 3? Give not thy strength unto women. Notice that's the plural, women. She's saying something here, all right? Nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Well, what ways destroy a king? Well, in Proverbs 7, we see the destruction of a young man that had the potential to be a king. He was wandering in a neighborhood he shouldn't be wandering in, passing in a street that he shouldn't have been on at a time of night where he shouldn't have been there, and hanging around the type of women he shouldn't have been hanging around. And we read in Proverbs 7 that he meets there a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtile of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. She is without now in the streets, lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. And I have found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed with her much fair speech. She caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine hardened heart decline to her ways. No, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Listen, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, folks, this stuff needs to be preached. It's almost like in America, we're not allowed, they think we're not allowed to say something. I'm not here to hurt anybody, but I'm telling you, young people, listen to me. You ought to listen to your mom when she tells you, you keep yourself pure. Young men, this goes for you. Young ladies, it goes for you also. You don't go the way of the world. You don't live the way of the world. You say, preacher, but that's old-fashioned. No, it's old King James Bible is what it is. It's old King James Bible. All right, well, you're pretty narrow-minded. Yeah, I'm about that narrow right there. That's about how narrow-minded I am right there. By the way, America was a better nation and a better country when we stood and had our morals set on this book. And what I'm saying is this, moms, you know what we need every mother in America to get back to doing? Sitting down and having an honest talk with the boys and having an honest talk with the girls in your house and saying, listen to me, we're raising you to be a king. And if you want to be slain, if you want to be destroyed, I don't know the potential of that young man in Proverbs chapter number 7, but he never reached his potential. He became a victim. He became a casualty. You know why? Because he didn't listen to his mama. Because he didn't listen to his mama. In the Bible, morality is always defined in the context of marriage. I'm going to take a minute here because, boy, we got to hit some reset buttons. You are being told so much garbage, and the world is pumping so much garbage into our young people. I'm telling you what the Bible says. In the Bible, morality is always defined in the context of marriage. First of all, the Bible defines marriage. Marriage is defined by the Bible as being a relationship between one man and one woman for life, till death do you part. Any other definition of marriage is not marriage, but a blatant perversion of the idea of marriage. What are you saying? Well, let me say it plain. Sodomy is perversion. Homosexuality is an abomination to God and a perversion of God's plan for the human race. You know what, folks? It shouldn't just be a preacher preaching this. This ought to be spoken by the lips of every mother and father to their children over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, we're talking about morality. There's a reason we're not raising kings. There's a reason that out of 360 million people, when it's all shaken apart, we have what we have to select from in a national leader. There's a reason for it. Come on, moms, let's get back to doing our jobs here. Amen. Come on, dads, let's do our jobs here. Okay? In the Bible, morality is defined in the context of marriage. Any other definition of marriage other than between one man and one woman for life is a blatant perversion of marriage. Before marriage, a young person is to stay morally chaste, morally pure. That means sex before marriage is a sin against God. The Bible calls it fornication. For a man and a woman to live together outside the bounds of holy matrimony is to commit the sin of fornication. And God promises judgment upon all who do so. Hebrews 13:4. I promise you, it's in your Bible. I didn't write it this morning. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Well, but I love her, but I love him. You do not put someone you love in the crosshairs of God's judgment. Let me say it again. You do not put somebody you claim to love in the crosshairs of God's judgment. If you love that person, then marry that person. Don't live together. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying playing house is a sin. It's a sin. Are you listening to me? Boy, our young people say, preacher, I'm offended. Don't get offended. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to save a generation up here. Okay? I mean, we need mamas teaching this stuff. We need mamas sharing this stuff. Okay? During a marriage, a husband and wife is to stay 100% faithful to each other. For anyone to enter into a relationship with someone besides their wife or their husband, they're committing the sin of adultery. There was a time when every mother taught their children these truths. Every godly mother still does so today. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this is kingly advice from a queenly mother. And you know what, moms? We need to go back to teaching our kids the basics, because you know what? They're not going to learn it in the public school. So what does this queenly mother tell this kingly son? He says, remember who you are. Number two, she says, keep yourself morally pure. What's the third thing? The third piece of advice that she brings is found in verse 4 through 7. We'll just work our way down the scriptures here. Never partake of any substance that alters your mind or affects your judgment. It is not for kings. Remember this, Christians, we're royalty. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor the prince's strong drink. Now that just eliminates any possibility of anybody that claims to be a part of the family of God ever taking one drop of alcohol and letting it touch your tongue, letting it touch your lips. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Lest they drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law. You know what? You've got to be careful. You've got to understand here that God forbids you to partake of any substance. We're going to talk about some alcohol here, but folks, it goes way beyond alcohol, what's happening in America today. Lest they drink and forget the law. You know what? It altered the mind. It affected the memory. It caused them to forget what's right and wrong. Okay? It lowered their inhibitions. All of a sudden, things that they knew were very plain, was right and wrong, all of a sudden becomes blurred and muddied. Alters their judgment, alters their mind, affects their judgment, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So, you know what a queenly mother says to a kid? Don't you ever drink one drop of booze. That's what a queenly mother teaches her children. That's what a king of a dad teaches his children. Don't touch it. By the way, if you're not going to touch booze because it does those things to you, you certainly wouldn't want to touch marijuana. We live in a world that's gone crazy. Folks, listen to me. Don't buy into this garbage. You know what? Well, if we just legalize this, if we just legalize that, you know what? It's amazing. Christians are being affected by this thinking. I want to say something to you. Our nation did right when we passed an amendment to our United States Constitution banning the sale of alcohol. And our nation did wrong to repeal that. They made a Bible-based decision and then they went back on it because of public pressure. Okay? And it hasn't solved anything. Booze is legal and it's ruined a million lives. Amen. Now listen to me. That's not what kings do. You know what? Booze will make you stupid. Marijuana will make you stupid. Drugs will make you stupid. Now young people, listen to me. You say, well, I don't know. Here's some news stories. Jensen Beach, Florida. Drunk man falls asleep in a Taco Bell drive-thru. They called the police. After they gave him his food, he fell asleep. Wouldn't move. Fell asleep. Passed out. The police show up. They ask him for a form of identification, and he hands them a taco. But booze don't make you stupid. No. You're right. You're a genius. Yeah, it doesn't alter your mind at all. San Diego, California, after a night of drinking, Bill Johnson woke up sealed in a 60-foot shipping container on a ship bound for a 2-week trek across the Pacific Ocean. He claims he mistook the container for a bed and breakfast. Google it. Actual news story. But no, you're right. It don't make you stupid. Atlanta, Georgia, a man is found passed out drunk in his front yard by the fire department. You say, why was the fire department there? They were there trying to save his house. It was engulfed in flames. They brought the man back to consciousness. He looked up, saw his house on fire, jumped up, ran into the burning house, and had to be rescued by the firefighters. He later told a police officer that he had run into the house to try to save his beer. The man sustained second-degree burns over 30% of his body. But you're right, booze don't make you stupid. Oh yeah, you're a genius. You're 14. You know everything. Clarksville, Tennessee, a man is arrested by the police for public intoxication and indecency. The 20-year-old man was running through a public park in his underwear with a machete shouting about a zombie invasion. When questioned by police, he was told he was only trying to save the world. But booze don't make you stupid, no. Zambia, Africa, a drunk safari guide jumps out of his Jeep and charges a wild bull elephant. The two American hunters said they were disturbed when their hired guide showed up a bit intoxicated, but was shocked when later in the morning he charged a wild elephant. The hunter shot the elephant, but not before it brutally killed the safari guide. But booze don't make you stupid. London, England, a drunk man wearing clown makeup was arrested after he was spotted dangling a child from a highway overpass. But booze don't make you stupid. Tallahassee, Florida, a drunk man stole a neighbor's riding lawnmower, then rammed it into the side of a public school bus. He was taken to the hospital, then arrested upon his release. But booze don't make you stupid. Pennsylvania man was arrested after he was found attempting to revive a dead possum along the highway. He apparently had hit the possum while driving, then pulled over and gave the possum mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But hey, booze don't make you stupid. No, go ahead. You know, you're in junior high now. It's time to stop riding the church bus and start going to the high school parties. And by the way, come see me in 5 or 6 years and tell me what your life's about. All right? Minnesota, a man was found asleep in the dryer of a local laundromat. He was intoxicated and told the police that he was afraid to go home and confront his wife. Well, he had some sense, I guess. So he decided to sleep in the dryer, he told him, because it was cold out. Florida, a drunk and angry man walks into Taco Bell and orders 10 burritos to go. He then walks into the dining room area and begins hurling burritos at the other patrons. The man was arrested for, this is what it says, assault with a burrito. But you're part of that contemporary Christian crowd. Okay, you somehow justified in your mind that you can sip a wine cooler every once in a while and you're okay. You know what, folks, listen to me. Are you going to be a king? Are you going to be royalty? All right, then you know what? Why don't you listen to the godly advice of a Christian mother? What's the next thing? Watch this. The next thing that this mother teaches her son is this. Watch this, verse 8 and 9. Stand up for the weak and defenseless. I like this. I like this. Look at verse number 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And folks, listen to me. We live in a society where more and more the rich are taking advantage of the poor. And you know what? People are being taken advantage of that have no recourse and have no voice. That's why I think, by the way, people ask me, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Let me tell you what I am. I'm a Christian. I think every Christian ought to vote Christian values. But I'm telling you, folks, it's sad when we try to put in office, and I'm not talking about just in the presidency. I'm talking about in Congress. I'm talking about we're putting into place people who are multimillionaires that are passing laws for the common man, and they've never lived like me and you've ever lived. They've never lived like us. And yet they want to decide what's right and wrong for us. But listen to me. Somebody's got to stand up for the weak. Somebody's got to stand up for the defenseless. One of the things that I want to encourage you young men to do is to learn something that we call chivalry. And young men, let me just say this. Take a minute. This is what this is teaching in this portion of Scripture. Chivalry. Say, preacher, what is that? I don't even never heard of that word before. Isn't that sad? Because we used to raise a generation of young men that understood chivalry. Okay? It doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you're strong. But by the way, young man, you use your strength to defend the weak, not to bully the weak. It's one of the reasons I'm so disappointed in the conduct of many, not just one, many of our presidential candidates. You know what's trying to be sold? This fake brand of pseudo-masculinity. That if you got a big mouth, you can hurl insults, you can treat people disrespectfully, and you've got a bunch of money, then you're a real man. Let me say this, folks. There's something called chivalry. Proper conduct. Watch this. What about being a gentleman? What about being a gentleman? Okay? Now, you know what this mother taught her son? He said, listen to me. You don't take your strength and go find somebody that's weak and pick on that person that's weak. And by the way, folks, bullying is an epidemic in the United States of America. You know why? Mamas, are you listening? Dads, are you listening to me? Better be careful what you're teaching Junior. And by the way, some of the biggest bullies in the world are not boys. Some of the biggest bullies in the world are young ladies, at least they should be young ladies, young females. Now, what does chivalry do? You know what? Chivalry says I need to be strong. Why? Not so I can pick on those weaker, but so that I can defend those that are weaker. All right, young men, listen to me. There's a way you ought to treat children. There's a way you ought to treat young men that are younger than you. Okay? If you use your strength to embarrass them or belittle them, then you don't know anything about manhood. If you use that strength to encourage them and to strengthen them and to lift them up, then you might have a little bit of an idea of what masculinity is actually about. You use your strength to protect children. You use your strength to protect ladies. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a man ought to have the same love for his wife that Christ had for the church. And Jesus was willing to give himself for the church. He was willing to die for the church, and I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a man that's not willing to die for his wife. Sir, God built you with something inside of you, if you'll let that God part of you, that part of you that was created in the image of God, if you'll let it come out, it's in there. There's a natural inclination to want to protect the weak and protect ladies. And yet we live in a society where men take their strength and abuse women. By the way, I don't care who you are and how you spell your name. I don't know who's here and what's in your background, but sir, you ever take your hand or your fist and hit some woman? You know what? Me and you ought to meet outside behind the barn sometime, have a talk about that. You say, well, I could whip you. You don't know what I'm going to bring. I said I'd fight you. I didn't say I'd fight you fair. Somebody needs to take you outside and rearrange your attitude. My grandpa's day, you know what they'd do? Man got out to the community, a man was beating his wife, Got out in the community. A man was abusing his child. You know what? A bunch of good old boys would show up at his house, drag him out of bed in the middle of the night, tie him to a tree, and whoop the fire out of him. Said, we'll be back every night till you have a change of mind about this. Sadly, those men would be the ones in jail today. While the abuser gets a little slap on the hand, goes back to continue doing his abuse. And ladies, let me just say this, and again, we get all kinds of people in here, folks, and listen, I want you to know you got a friend here, but no woman ought to live in that kind of a situation. Preacher, I don't have nowhere to go. I don't know how to get it. You come see me. You come see my wife. Nobody ought to live in that kind of a situation. Listen, you're better than that. And there is help. What am I talking about? I'm talking about what this queenly mother taught the kingly son. You know what? He was going to have power. The power of his office. He was going to rule and reign over a nation. And you know what she said? Don't you take that power and abuse the needy. Don't you take that power and abuse the poor. Don't you take that power and abuse the weak. You take that power and that strength and you help people. Young people, let me say to all of you, there's a way that you ought to treat elderly people. I mean, I watch some of you, and I get it. When I was young, I was the same way, but you need to grow up and think a little bit. You're in too big a hurry around here. Boy, church has got to let out, and boy, you got to get out that door. And we've got senior saints that you've noticed, folks, some of them's on walkers, and some of them's got canes, and some of them are holding on to somebody's arm because they're a little frail, and here you and your friends come flying through, and you may not think anything about it, but if you knock them down, do you realize they could break a hip and maybe end up in a nursing home and never have their life back just because you did not exercise, sir, young man, chivalry? Instead of running past and almost knocking down an older person, how about what the Boy Scouts used to teach? Didn't they used to teach you're supposed to help old ladies across the street? You know what? That was like, slow down. There's people around you, folks, that have needs. We are blessed here in this church, folks, listen to me, to get an opportunity every week to minister to a lot of special needs people. Now, young people, you look up here and listen to me. And I've never heard a report of this in this church. I've never heard a report of it. But I also know that children can be awfully cruel sometimes. Don't you ever make fun of somebody that has a handicap of any kind. Don't you ever make fun of them. You know, one of the reasons that I believe this church is a magnet for those type of people is because when they come here, they feel loved. Matter of fact, if anything, special attention and a special amount of love ought to be showered on those folks. Amen. And what I'm saying is this is what a queenly mother taught. Listen, a boy comes home and she finds out, this is what's wrong. I'm going to help you here. We have got to stop standing up for our kids when they're wrong. Okay, if I was doing something wrong, picking on some boy on the way home, man, I'm going to tell you something. For one thing, before I even got home, my mom would know about it because the neighbor mom would call and say, listen, this is what your son was doing out in front of my house. And you know what? If the neighbor mother was so inclined, they have been known to come out in the street and get me by the nape of the neck, by the short hairs back here, and let me do a little bit of a dance too. You mean you've been whooped by somebody that's not your mom? Oh, yeah. See, what'd you do? I ran home to tell mama. What'd she do? She whooped me again. Hey, moms, dads, stop running into the principal office and defending your little heathen child. Stop cussing out some parent that calls you and tells you that your kids are doing wrong. You know what your child has grown up to understand? I can go out and I can treat anybody any way I want to. And if anybody says anything to me or to my parents, they will get on my side and defend me. I'll get by with it. And that's why we got a bunch of punks instead of young men and young ladies. And folks, this is basic stuff. This is kingly advice. This is what queenly mothers used to teach their children. That's why there was a time when we raised some kings. Raising kings instead of punks. Raising young men that when you walk through society looking decent, acting decent, being polite. Now you see the average kid, not the average kid, but a lot of kids, and you know what? They got their britches hung down all the way down here in the back. Back here, underneath their rear end, their britches are hanging down, the middle's like that, and they got to walk like this. But they're cool! They're cool! I would have never had any inclination to do that anyway, but had I tried it, my mom had got a hold of a couple of my belt loops, and I'm going to tell you what, I'd have been dangling up in the air. She'd have been shaking me into place. Hey, be a mom! Be a mom! Okay, little sissy wants to walk out with a skirt too short. You know what? Mama, that's your job. She wants to walk out with a top that's a little too low. Excuse me, Mama, that's your job. Yeah, but all my friends. Does that really work at your house? I tried that. It never worked at my house. You know why? What my son? What the son of my womb? What the son of my vows? You're not like everybody else. We're not raising you to be like everybody else. Are you being helped this morning? By the way, moms, I'm congratulating you this morning. I'm thanking you this morning. Thank God there's still some old-fashioned moms that, you know what, aren't surrendering to the culture and surrendering to the society, to the social sins of this culture, and are taking some stands and raising their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's still some mamas that lay down the law. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Stand up for the weak. Stand up for the defenseless. The last piece of advice that this mama gives her son. Boy, you young men listen to this and you young ladies listen to this. It's found in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? And we will not take the time to preach down through the section on the virtuous woman. From verse 10 all the way to verse 31, this lady is described by a mother to her son. Let me give you a summarization of that description. Here's the last piece of advice that Mama gave to a king, and this is it. Marry a virtuous and valuable woman who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies. If you read this section, you'll find out that a virtuous woman is a faithful woman, faithful to her husband, trustworthy, doesn't have to worry about, a husband has to worry about him, her being unfaithful, hardworking, smart, frugal, compassionate, loves children, family-oriented, modest, feminine, wise with her words, fears the Lord. Study it out. Now you think about this, and we'll wrap it up right here. But here's a queenly mother, and she sets down a kingly son, and she says, "Son, you remember who you are. And by the way, you keep yourself morally pure. And by the way, son, booze is for losers." By the way, I skipped two of those verses, and I want you to know I'm not avoiding them, so let's look at them. Notice what it says here in verse number 4. "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." You say, wait a minute, preacher, but it doesn't say that it's always wrong to drink. Look in verse number 6. "Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish." Okay, by the way, I've been in hospitals my whole life. I mean, that's what you do in the ministry. I've sat by deathbeds. You know what they do? They administer some type of drugs to ease the process of dying. So if you are dying, I guess you got a loophole on this. Okay, if you've got like 30 minutes to live, and you want to take a, by the way, if I had 30 minutes to live, I wouldn't want in 30 minutes to be standing before God with Boone Farms wine smell on my breath. But if you, I guess you got a loophole. Wait, preacher, that's not all it said. All right, let's look what it said. By the way, you got to remember a mama's telling this. Now, I want you to think about your mama. I'm thinking about mine. So this is what she says. Verse 6, "Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish." So when you're ready to die, that's the only time you can drink, son. and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Oh, so if I'm depressed, I'm allowed to drink. Well, wait, we're not done. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So if you are poor and miserable and depressed and have given up, then go ahead and drink. And you know what she was saying? Son, booze is for losers. That's what she's saying there. Excuse me. What's she saying there? She's not saying if you get a little depressed, go get drunk. If you get a little depressed, because you know what she said? She said this. Give him to a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. So in other words, if you've given up in life and all you want to do is lay in the gutter and feel sorry for yourself, son, then go drink. So if you're ready to die, go drink. Or if you're going to give up on yourself and go lay in some gutter, then go drink. But you know what? It's not for kings. It's not for kings. I didn't want to pass that up. Remember who you are. Keep yourself morally pure. Booze is for losers. By the way, so is marijuana. So is meth. So is crack. So is all this other junk. Stand up for the weak and defenseless. And son, when you get married one of these days, you marry a virtuous and valuable woman. Don't you make the mistake of marrying some worldly, carnal, heathen woman. That honestly mirrors a lot of the advice that my mama gave me when I was being raised. And I thank God for a godly mother. Onward. Onward, Christian mothers. Onward, Christian mothers. Onward, Christian mothers. You know what? You hold the future of a nation in your hand as you rear your children. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us. Dear God, reclaim some things that this world's tried to steal from moms and dads in the home. Lord, sometimes society wants moms and dads to feel powerless. As if they don't have much say even in the rearing of their own children. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to stand up and once again take ownership. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, with your help, please, to say what we need to say to our children. Draw lines where we need to draw lines. Enforce rules where we need to enforce rules. Teach wisdom. Not give in just because a world's gone crazy and a world's gone mad. Thank you, Lord, that we're in a church where I look all over this auditorium. All over this auditorium, there are ladies, moms, dads that are doing everything in their power to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May those young people listen to the advice of their mother. Listen to the commandment of their father. And Lord, may they grow up, dear God, to be kings and queens and provide America some measure of hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name.